Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for being part of our day. 800-531-3815, toll free coast to coast. Ray Keating is our guest. Ray is chief economist with the Small Business Survival Committee, an organization that I've been fond of and have been glad to support for a number of years. They're pound for pound. Nobody does more for small business than the SBSC. He's also a syndicated columnist with Newsday out of New York City, and he's our good friend. Ray Keating, welcome back.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Great. It's good to have you back.
Glad to be here.
Ray, as you know, the president proposed another big tax cut this year. And what's that, a second one in 3 years?
Right, exactly.
And he will sign it today. Got through Congress last week, but not without being severely diminished by at least half. But nonetheless, as I've said before, we may not like the numbers, but we've got to like the trend. And so he's going to sign that bill today, about $350 billion and some change over the next few years. Now, what I want to do is sort of set up where we are right now and compare this to what was happening approximately 70 years ago. 70 years ago, we just had a stock market crash, all right? We've just had a stock market crash, right, within the last couple of years.
Yep.
The Republicans were in the White House, Hoover. We have a Republican in the White House. But then after that, in the early 30s, a couple of things happened that a lot of people believe sent the world into a depression, certainly the United States. And one was tax increase that Hoover had to have, and the other one was restrictions in trade in the form of this Smoot-Hawley tariff.
That's exactly right.
All right. Now what we've got is a Republican in the White House who wants to lower taxes, and we've got a new free trade environment rippling around the world like we've never seen before. So, but we also have an economy that's really, really teetering in tough shape right now, really around the globe right now. We've got a lot of trouble around the globe. So I'm trying to make the comparison there between those two eras.
Oh, well, you set it up beautifully. One era went clearly the wrong way, in my view, I think we're steering the economy in the right direction. You know, back Hoover and Republicans had control of the Congress, and after an era of some pro-growth Republicanism under Harding and Coolidge, although they weren't so great on trade, but they really got tax rates down and did a lot of other positive things. Hoover and Republicans reversed course, and you're absolutely right. They became protectionist on the trade front, which did severe damage to the global economy. And then, to make matters worse, they started focusing in on the budget deficit and hiked taxes through the roof, and that crippled the economy even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then, going forward, FDR carried through on those high tax strategy and raised taxes even more. So that steered the economy and the global economy, because we were very much, people don't realize this, but we were very much an integrated global economy back then.
Mm-hmm.
And world trade plummeted, and we went into the Great Depression, as we all know. Now, contrast that to today, we're doing far better. We've learned, actually, which is a good thing. And you've got, other than his slip on the steel issue, we have a generally free trade president. We've got, I think, some very positive things on that front. And then we've got this tax cut that he's going to sign today, which is a pretty solid pro-growth tax cut. And there actually are some provisions that are improved over what he originally proposed, the president originally proposed.
Right, which I want to come back to in just a minute. But if nothing else, I mean, I think there's some direct corollaries that can be drawn between what was going on in the early 30s and what's going on right now with regard to the global economics, with regard to to the potential for where we could go. And if people don't like what we're doing right now, at least somebody could say, could stand up and say, well, you know what? We tried the other 70 years ago, and that didn't work. Why don't we at least try this? We know that doesn't work.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, if you want to take the protectionist route, you can take a look and see what happened to the global economy when we did that. If you want to focus exclusively on the budget deficit and feel like we have to keep taxes high or raise taxes to deal with that, well, we have evidence that that doesn't work out too well either. I think you're absolutely right. I think there is strong parallels, and as I said, there's some encouragement here in terms of we're going in a far, far better, far positive direction now.
Stand by, Ray. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got more to come with our good friend Ray Keating, Chief Economist with the Small Business Survival Committee. That's sbsc.org. Tony Till, stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. Thank you very much for joining us. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Lloyd Chapman is going to talk to us about what he's doing, he and his organization are doing, to make sure that you and I have access to some of the government contracts that are out there. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with Melinda Davis. And Ray Keating is our guest. Ray, Melinda Davis is going to join us in the next hour, and she's going to talk about how women are specifically suited, and especially suited for doing business in the current age. And anytime women join us on the show and talk about those things, I always get in a little bit of trouble. So say a little prayer for me when you leave today.
All right. Well, should I tell you to behave or something? I'm not going to.
You can, but it usually doesn't work.
Okay.
Ray, I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit more about the impact of this tax bill, and then I want to get into some more global issues. As far as that are not specifically related to the tax bill. But what do you think this tax bill could mean to the global economy? How do you think it could benefit? How could it ripple not only across America, which I guess that in itself is good for global economics,
right?
But how could it actually be exported?
Well, I think that what you just said is, you know, we're the economic leaders in the world. We're the global leaders, and when you know our economy gets rocking and rolling, that's good for everybody else. So I think that's the key issue here. When you look at the pro-growth provisions in this bill, the acceleration of the income tax rates, the cut in the capital gains tax, which, you know, it's amazing to me what people are not talking about when it comes to this tax bill. And I think one of the key measures here is this cut in the capital gains
tax. I agree with you 100%. I pointed that out earlier in the week. That's absolutely right on the money. It's one of the little sleepers.
Yep.
But we remember what happened in the 90s when capital gains got cut. The economy jumped.
Whenever capital gains is cut, it always helps the economy. It helps the stock market. And it the key thing here is that it's an incentive for investment. It's a big boost to venture capital and those things. That's the lifeblood of small business and the economy. So
well, it causes people to sell, and selling anything creates opportunity.
But it's not only that it makes people to sell, because I think that's only part of the equation. It's very much a forward-looking tax cut in the sense that you're looking at the returns that you can possibly make on this risky adventure that you're looking at, whether it's investing in a startup or expanding a business. You're looking at the potential returns out there, and what a cut in the capital gains tax does, it enhances those returns. So I think more importantly, it's very much a forward-looking tax cut.
But, Ray, anytime somebody sells and somebody buys, that creates churn.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not denying what you're saying.
I know, but I mean that's right. I think the churn effect is, and this is the good churn, folks, not the bad churn. but the good churn is something I think a lot of people who don't understand how the economy works completely disregard.
Oh yeah, well, you know, this tax, you know, it's interesting. When you listen to the news media and a lot of the reports, you know, they're still back on, which I think is the least critical aspect of this, but I think it's one of the provisions, maybe the child care tax credit or something. But they're saying that, you know, in July, that means people are going to get checks in their mailboxes. And, you know, it's the old rebate argument. Mm-hmm. We heard this, quite frankly, in 2001. And,
right.
You know, it was part of the original tax cut that was passed then, and quite frankly, that's You know, it was a big thing with Jimmy Carter. We know how well he did with the economy. Tax rebates.
Mr. Malaise.
Tax rebates are not pro-growth economics. You know, sure, it gets money into the private hands, but it's basically more of a shell game. The key here is what is changing pro-growth incentives. And again, you go back to the income tax rate cuts, the capital gains cut, the boost in expensing levels for small business. That's a key issue, and also the enhancement of the depreciation aspects for all businesses. So those are the ones that are going to alter incentives, pro-growth incentives for investing and risk-taking. That's what's really going to help the economy. Because again, when you look at what has been the problem in the economy going back to the middle of 2000, it's been investment. It's been business investment has been lacking. Not only lacking, it fell off the table, and that's what's been holding back this economy. And these provisions are going to help help remedy that.
Well, especially when you realize that 98% of all businesses in America are small businesses.
Yep.
We create over half the economy, production in the economy. We employ over half the people. We create most of the net new jobs. And even though, Ray, you and I both know, as I pointed out earlier in the hour, that $25,000, the current, as it stands right at this moment, allowance for direct expensing for small business is plenty for most small businesses. The truth is, there are thousands and thousands of middle market companies, emerging companies out there that need more than that. And those are the guys who put on. They don't hire one person at a time; they hire 15 people at a time.
Yep, no, it's absolutely correct. And again, it's going to help. You know, you're right on in terms of what the role of small and mid-sized businesses. What their role is in the economy. They're the innovators. They're the folks that employ at least half the private sector workforce, and they're the job creators. And again, that's another issue. When you look at the job numbers dating back to around February of 2001, it's just been abysmal. And again, some of the key provisions in this tax bill are going to help to point things in a good direction.
Let's blend some other things that are going on right now into this whole thing. If you and I, it's basically resolved between you and me and if you and I think it's so, it must be, that this tax cut is going to be good for the economy. So the U.S. economy, we should be seeing signs of improvement in the U.S. economy. But there are other things going on, like, for example, right now, the dollar is pretty weak. It's weakened considerably. It's almost on par with the euro, which I'm not sure has ever happened before. And so what we want to do when we come back after these messages is I want to talk about your thoughts on some of these, let's blend some of these other factors into improving the global economy, because we do need the global economy to be good as well, not just ours. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Ray Keating. He's with the Small Business Survival Committee. We're back at 7 till. Ray Keating is our guest. Small Business Survival Committee is his organization. He's the chief economist there. And if you check out their website at sbsc.org, you'll find Ray's columns, and also Karen Kerrigan, who's the founder of that organization, the chairman, she writes there. Also, Daryl McKegney, who's the president of that organization. All three of those guys have articles there on the site, and a lot of good information. They can find out a lot about what's going on in the world of small business there, can't they, Ray?
No, absolutely. And it's got new stuff almost every day, and we've got, just to put a quick plug in, our most recent report was a report on big spending in the states and how much spending has been going up and how that's kind of been lost in the state budget debate. So that's one that folks might want to take a look
at.
When
did you put that one up?
Just earlier this month.
All right.
Yep.
Come on another day and talk about that some. Ray, let's get back into the macroeconomics issues. Oh, by the way, folks, that's sbsc.org. Check it out. Let's get back to the macroeconomics thing. I was just mentioning before we went to the break about the dollar sliding against foreign currencies. A lot of people think that this is good. They're excited because it's good for our manufacturing. Anytime our dollar is weak against other currencies, that makes our goods cheaper. And that allegedly will increase our demand for our goods and will increase manufacturing.
Yeah, you know, I don't put too much stock in terms of that argument, as particularly as a longer-term economic growth measure. You know, in the short term, you're going to get a hit like that, but it raises questions as to, you know, is the dollar going to be worth as much? Because, you know, a weak dollar could be an inflationary problem. But the other thing, so again, I think.
Right
know,
now, though, that'd be a little bit of a good thing, though, wouldn't it? We,
well,
could use a
no.
little, we could use a little inflation right now, couldn't we?
No. No, I'll never say that. I think price stability is the key, what the Fed should be looking at, and that's it. And I'll never say we need a little inflation. But I think more importantly, and I think this phenomenon, quite frankly, of a weak dollar, if you want to call it that right now, is going to be short. Because I think with this tax bill and a lot of other things falling in place, not to say that we don't have some problems, but I think we're setting up for a solid rebound as we get into the second half of this year and into 2004. And if that happens, you know what? People around the world are going to see us as the leader mm-hmm. of economic growth again. And you know what? That means they're going to want to invest here, and that's going to be even better for the economy.
Yep.
And that's probably going to get the dollar back up. So,
but wouldn't you agree that for, even though you called it a short-term measure, but isn't it really kind of a good thing as a short-term measure?
You know what? I don't think it's all
you still
that.
Don't, huh?
I don't think it's all that important. I think the real issue here, you know, when we get focused on strong dollar, weak dollar, I think we get off what really matters is, and that's economic growth. You know what? Even if we have a strong dollar and the world economy is growing, our exports will expand, and that'll be good for everybody. And that's what happened. I mean,
yeah.
Look back at the 1990s. Our dollar was strong. Our economy was growing. Everybody else's economy was growing. And guess what? Our exports went through the roof.
Well, the other thing that happens is when our dollar is weak, it actually hurts other economies' exports.
Absolutely.
And their economies are in tough shape right now. They actually need to export.
But again, this is real, at best, short-term stuff. And mm-hmm. I think focusing on that gets us in kind of a us against them, and you know, how can
right.
we manipulate trade to our advantage? And I don't think that's beneficial. I think the key here is at home and abroad is to get those pro-growth policies in place. And guess what? Then the exports and everything will be taken care of.
Well, the other thing to remember is we don't manufacture all that much stuff here anyway anymore.
Well, no, there's a good division of labor in the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
We're far more integrated than we ever were.
What is it, about 20% of our jobs are now in manufacturing?
I think that's about right. And what's interesting is, you know, when you look at, I wish I had the numbers in front of me here, but, you know, economic growth during the 1990s, such a large portion of that came from trade.
Right.
The increase in trade. So and again, this is not just a big business issue, as many people think. Small businesses are completely integrated into
right.
the global economy.
Well, and also, not only that, but we're exporting more services every year.
Absolutely. Oh,
and a lot of the services that we export, we have almost no competitors for.
That is true. And, you know, I know we're jumping around here a little bit, but, you know, the key to remember here, when you look at the employment numbers in manufacturing, sure, we've been on a steady decline, but you know what? Our production and our productivity in manufacturing
mm-hmm.
has been on the rise.
That's right.
It's kind of like the phenomenon that we saw early last century with farming, where, you know, the number of people working in farming dropped dramatically, but our production exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And we
Ray,
are seeing a similar phenomenon in manufacturing over the last couple of decades.
Ray, I'm going to have to wrap it up for this visit, but you've done a great job of helping us put all this in perspective. Generally speaking, I'm pretty positive about what's coming up in the future, and I think you are too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray.
Okay, take care, Jim.
Ray Keating, ladies and gentlemen, with the Small Business Survival Committee. He'll be back, I promise. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners who are going to get a tax cut today. Happy birthday. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.